This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Say, for example, you have a loan to the bank, you're paying interest all the time, and you have 10,000 in your pocket. Should you pay the debt is due, otherwise you'll be paying interest, or should you renovate your basement? Who cares about your basement? You have to pay the debt and the interest so you can get out of this thing, because it's not acceptable Islamically. So some sins in Islam are worse than others. If you see someone drowning in Lake Ontario, and this person has a golden ring, you don't ask them, okay, aapki saath koi mushkil hai. You have to take off their golden ring first before I save you. No, you save them first, and you can give them a long talk about the golden ring later. But you don't ask them in the water to take off their ring before you can save them, right? This is nonsense. We know that in Sharia, if you are praying and someone is in danger, their life is in danger, you have to stop your prayer and go and save them, right? Because salah, prayer, can wait. Saving a human life cannot wait, right? So some things in Sharia are more important than others, right? So inshallah, we're going to talk about some of these examples later. I wanted to start with a story. It's actually a book that was published a few years ago. Ms. Bowery Ware, she is an Australian nurse. She worked for several years at the palliative unit at the church, palliative care, taking care of the people in the last few days or a couple of weeks in their lives. So she spent a lot of time with these people, serving them and taking care of them and making sure that they were okay. Then she wrote a book about her experiences with these people. So the book's title is The Five Top Regrets of the Dying. So as she spoke to different people, non-Muslim, they had regrets in life. Now they are, you know, facing death, they're about to leave this world, they had some regrets. They said, I wish I did these things. So the five top regrets in their lives were as follows. So number one regret in their lives was, I wish I did things and I lived my life in the way that I wanted and my God wanted, not as people expected of me. So this is the first regret in their lives, right? So this was the number one regret that a lot of people have. Now, because we're influenced by friends and colleagues, sometimes we go out of our way just to do the things they do to please them, right? So we do a lot of religious and social and different things to please someone. Not because you wanted to do it, but because you feel you have to. في سورة حتى سورة العنكبوت مودة بينكم في الحياة الدنيا, right? So the pagans, at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they used to worship the idols to please each other. It's a social thing. Not because they were convinced that the idols could benefit or harm them, but they just so they can fit in, right? Otherwise they would be alienated by people, alienated socially and so on and so forth. So they just did it to please people. And we know in Islam, you have to do what is good, even if you are the only one doing it, right? The numbers don't matter in Islam, right? So you have to do what is right, even if you are the only one doing it, right? Because what people do basically, they go by what is acceptable socially and what is not acceptable socially. What we call aib, the aib system. This is the word that in a lot of homes you hear this word a lot. This is aib, this is aib, this is aib. Aib basically in Arabic means something that is not socially acceptable. Even if it's acceptable in Islam, right? So for example, someone in where I came from, in the village in Egypt, would not give his sister her share of inheritance because it's aib in the village culture to give your father's land to your brother-in-law as an inheritance, right? But also you will get something through your wife as well, right? So this is the point, right? So it is, you have to do it Islamically. You have to give your sister her share of inheritance from her father or her mother, but in the village culture, it's aib, right? It's not acceptable, right? In some places, if someone from some culture proposes to a sister from a different culture, then the father will say, no, no, because you know, they are from a different culture, they don't speak the language, although both of them, they lived their whole lives, they got education here, they both speak English, they both are Canadian by culture, right? But no, I'm from this country, this guy's from that country, I'm not going to marry them. So according to them, because they're always afraid about what people will say, their reputation as a family, they will always say, but what are the people going to say about me? Although this is haram in Sharia, if someone proposes and this person is very good, you shouldn't say no. You should, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or the Prophet says, yani, you should make things easier for the people. And if you look at the Sahaba, they came from different places, Salman al-Farisi, Bilal radiallahu anhu, Suhaib al-Rumi, the people came from different places in the Muslim world, and they were getting married to each other. There was no problem. Because as human beings and as Muslims, we are one. Your color doesn't really matter, right? What matters is, are you a good person or no? This is what matters, right? And they end up marrying their daughter to someone from the same culture, and that he abuses his wife and all that stuff. We hear the stories all the time, right? If you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, don't follow the crowd. Don't swim with the current, right? Just because people are doing something, don't follow them, right? Just do what is right. وَأَن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْقَلُونَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. In the Quran, Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you follow most people in this world, they will mislead you outside. They will lead you out of the way of Allah. They will lead you out of what is right and what is acceptable, right? And most people are ignorant. Most people don't think. Most people follow blindly. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about small groups, He says, قَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. Very few of my servants are grateful and thankful to me. So this is what happens when He speaks about the majority and the minority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, it doesn't matter who is saying what, as long as it is the truth, it is the right thing, you have to do it regardless of who is doing it. As I said, most people go by what is acceptable culturally and morally from their own point of view, regardless of their religion. Just like the examples I gave, right? So for example, we know that the culture changes all the time. We know that morality changes all the time. I'll just give a few examples from the Western culture. A few years ago, some drugs like marijuana was unacceptable. If they catch you with marijuana, you go to jail. Now in some places in North America, it's legal to carry and use marijuana, right? Abortion was not allowed legally. Now it's allowed. Homosexuality was not allowed. Now it's being allowed in some places, and eventually it will be introduced, right? The bill will pass and everybody will have the right to do it, right? And so on and so forth, right? In North America, at least in America, no woman made it to the White House. 44 presidents so far have been elected in the US as presidents, and none of them was a woman. This was not acceptable in the society, but maybe in the future a lady will be elected, right? So people's morals and ethical values and principles change all the time. But what doesn't change is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives as principles and values. Theft has always been forbidden in Islam. Dating has always been forbidden in Islam. Doing drugs, drinking, abusing people, lying, taking bribes, all this is forbidden. You will never find in Islamic history that something was forbidden at the beginning of Islam and later, a few centuries later, it was allowed. This will never happen. People change all the time. But the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine values and principles, never change. So this is the first point. She wrote in the book, Ms. Ware, I wish, or this is what the people said, I wish that I did things based on what I like to do, not based on what people expected of me. A lot of brothers don't like to smoke. They don't like to drink or date and do all these things. But they do these things just because their friends do the same thing and they don't want to look like an idiot. So they just copy them because they think it's cool to do what other people do. Otherwise, you'll be alienated. You're not going to fit, right? So as I said, do what you think is right and acceptable Islamically, not what will make people happy. Number two, they said in the book, the top second regret, that I wish I said the truth and I was open and frank about what I felt and I didn't sugarcoat, right? You see someone doing something wrong, you don't speak up because you're afraid that people will say something. And this is also in Islam, in the hadith, in Targhib wa Tarhib lil Munthiri. And a lot of the scholars question the authenticity of this hadith, but the meaning is acceptable. يعني تكلموا في الحديث وقالوا ضعيف وكذا ولكن معناه مقبول شرعا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask his servant on the day of judgment, you saw something wrong, فَلِمَ لَمْ تَتَكَلَّمْ فِيهِ فَقَالْ خَشْيَةَ النَّاسِ فَأَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَإِيَّايَ كُنْتُ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَخْشَى. Why didn't you speak up? Why didn't you stand up and say this is wrong? You see someone abusing someone or they're killing innocent people for nothing back home, and the people are abused and killed in the streets, the women, the children, they throw them in jail for nothing. And you didn't speak up, the mufti, the scholar, this, that, oh, because I was afraid of the people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, I'm the one worthy of your fear. You should have been afraid of me, not the people, right? So this is also Islamic. Speak the truth. Be nice, yes, but you have to speak the truth. Don't lie, right? So it depends on the approach and the hikmah, choosing the time, how you put it, your words, and all these things. Number three, the third regret, they said, I wish I had more time to spend with my family. Because most people travel here and there, or even if they stay in the same house, they work two or three jobs to provide for the family, pay the bills, and so on and so forth. But they don't talk to the kids. Their kids go to school 8 hours a day, and as I always say, they are taught by al-maghdub alayhim wal dhalin. Then by the end of the month, you expect them to be like Umar ibn Khattab, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Right, you're fooling yourself. And you don't have time to spend with your kids, right, or your family. If you calculate the time that most of us spend with our kids before they move out and get married, it will be equal to like 2 weeks in total. That's like 2 or 3 minutes a week, right? And even when you sit with them, it is not a quality time, right? So by the time you make enough money to support them, they are married, they're not living with you anymore. You sit with your mom, you're always on your Facebook account, you're playing with your phone, and your mom is talking to you, you're not even looking at her, you're just playing or liking someone's post because they posted their selfie, right? All these things. Or their food, biryani, they took a picture of the biryani, right? Makluba, all the good stuff. And their mom is sitting next to them and talking to them about her health, what she feels, and she doesn't want to look at her mom because they're busy on Facebook. The next thing is, their mom is dead. Their mom is not there. Then they regret and say, well, subhanAllah, I wish I had time to spend with my mom or my dad or my brother or sister or my wife or my husband and talk to them. Now I want to talk to them. Now I want to hug them and to be with them, but they're not there anymore. Facebook can wait. Okay, who cares about Facebook? 15, 20 years ago, when Facebook was not there, people were talking to each other and they were happy, right? But your mom and your dad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a long life, maybe they will not be there forever, right? So the third regret was, we don't spend a lot of time with the family or quality time with them. The fourth regret was, we didn't connect with our friends, especially the friends you make in childhood. These are the good friends, right? You share memories with them. So you remember your friends from childhood, the guys who used to bite you and bully you and to steal your toys. These are the good friends, right? Because when we grow older, someone may become your friend because they expect something from you. They want money, or the guy wants to marry your sister, and start running around you, right? Because they want something from you. But these kids you grew up with, they didn't expect anything from you, right? You spend good time together, you know, they are always there for you. If you need something, they will come to your help, and so on and so forth. Giving time to friends. And the fifth, and the last one, they said in the book, we wish we understood the meaning of happiness and what it takes to become happy in life. And as we said a few months ago in the khutbah about happiness, a lot of people think that money will make you happy. And I said at the time that if money makes you happy, why is it that suicide rates are very high in rich countries? In Japan, in most countries in Europe, in the US, in poor countries, they're not actually poor like our countries back home, the Muslim countries, they are rich, but the people are poor. But still our people back home, they are not killing themselves. Our rulers are killing them, but they're not killing themselves, right? They're doing a good job, right? So they're doing that because the people have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They expect the reward in Akhirah. But some other people, yes, they make a lot of money, but money does not make them happy. They buy medicine with it, but it doesn't give them health. They can buy food with it, but it doesn't make them happy, and it doesn't make them comfortable, right? And you hear about Miley Cyrus, you hear about Lady Gaga, you hear about all the actors and the dancers, they make millions of dollars, and they kill themselves. The stories are so many. Michael Jackson, you hear the stories, right? All of them, right? Drugs, whatever, painkillers, Bruce Lee, and all these, and they die. 24 years old, 25 years old. He had millions of dollars, and she had millions of dollars, and they just killed themselves. And the actor who did the Aladdin movie, the guy, the genie in the movie, I forgot his name. He killed himself. What was his name?
Robin Williams.
People thought he was the happiest man in the world. He was doing all these comedies. He was very happy. He had millions of dollars. But he was so miserable, and he killed himself. You know this story. I don't have to remind you. So don't think that money is what makes you happy. There are so many other things. Doing the things that you like, doing the things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being with the people that you love, and they love you, contributing to your community, helping those who are in need, and so on and so forth. The last thing I wanted to say, to understand how to classify your priorities, and I mentioned this in the khutbah last year, and I said any activity or anything you do in life can be classified into one of four groups. Urgent and important, not urgent, not important, important but not urgent, urgent but not important. And don't ask me to repeat them because I can't, right? So always keep these things in mind. When it is time for Salah and you want to play video games, how do you classify them? It is time for Dhuhr. So Dhuhr is urgent and important. Video games, not urgent, not important, right? And so on and so forth. So now you know how to classify things Islamically to achieve happiness in life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. InshaAllah. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So inshallah I have a few announcements before I finish my khutbah, and as I said inshallah this will be my last khutbah here. So to achieve or to know the priorities in life, one of the most important things you need to do is to gain knowledge. You cannot know the priorities or put them in order without the knowledge. And we know that the most important knowledge in Islam, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to serve Him. Then understanding the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the best example to follow for your priorities to be in order, to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ هُمْ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ ثُمَّ الْعَشْرَ الْمُبَشَّرِينَ بِالْجَنَّةِ ثُمَّ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ ثُمَّ مَنْ بَايَعَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. تمام. So the best people to follow after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are the members of the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the 10 Sahaba who got the news of Jannah. Then the people of Badr. Then the people who pledged allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ under the tree, and the rest of the Sahaba, خِيَارٌ مِّن خِيَارٍ, right? So you have to understand your rights and your obligations toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your rights and your obligations toward human beings, and by extension all of God's creation. Your rights and responsibilities as a husband and wife, children and parents, colleagues and friends, and so on and so forth. So we have to always keep this in mind, education. This leads to the next point, and this will be the last one before the quick announcements, inshallah. We have a priority in this community. And the priority is to have a school here in St. Catharines and to have a community center. It's long overdue. We know that several years back, we had only a few Muslims here in this community. They arrived in the 1960s, Dr. Shaheen, Uncle Hamadani, Brother Abu Saleh, Brother Rifat, and I always joke about this, and because they came a long time ago, and I said when the First Nation came, Then Brother Abu Saleh and Brother Rifat were there at the border stamping their passports. Pass, 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 right? It's just an exaggeration how long they have been here in this community, right? But at the time, there were only a few families here. Then the community started to grow. Then they had the vision for 50 or 100 years, and they built the masjid in Niagara Falls in the 1980s. Then they built a masjid here in St. Catharines in the 1990s. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Uncle Hamadani and the rest of the family and all the community members who have contributed back then and throughout the years, right? Now we should have the vision for the next 50 and 100 years to have a school and a community center. In one of the khutbahs I spoke about the three components of a human being, the mind, the body, and the soul. So now we have to take care of the soul and the mind of our youth, right? We have to keep and taking care of their bodies. We feed them, we make sure they look good, we take them to YSA, they play basketball, all that stuff. But we also have to teach them the good things that will benefit them. You know what is going to happen in the schools, in the public schools, the sex education and all these things, right? So we need to provide education that is acceptable from a Muslim perspective. We have to have our own schools. So inshallah, this next month, September the 11th inshallah, Dr. Abdullah Idris will be visiting from Mississauga to talk to you more in detail about this project, the significance of the project, the financial details, what we need to have, the school, the community center, the gym, playgrounds for the children and for the families. So for Eid, we don't have to rent any halls or any places after that. We'll have everything in our community and we have the ability to do it, right? So the good news is we have the resources, we have the money to buy the school and the community center, but the bad news is the money is in your pockets. So it will take a long time to fill your heart with the iman so we can empty your pockets and purchase the building and the community center. I always say that Uncle Hamadani did his best several years ago, and it is now your time to do your best. We can do it. As I said before, that Lake Ontario was not made overnight. Several drops of rain came together and formed what we see today as Lake Ontario. We can do it. Everyone, according to their ability, will be able to do it, inshallah. I'll be done in just 2 or 3 minutes, inshallah. I have a couple of announcements. Mission Tanzania, Sister Bilqis, and her comrades, her friends, they came back safely, alhamdulillah, from Tanzania. They built the school, they helped the family, and we thank them for all the great efforts they have been doing, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them success in all their endeavors. They will be waiting outside in the tent after the prayer, so inshallah go and welcome them and talk to them about their experiences. The tickets for the Eid party, inshallah, are also for sale. You can purchase your tickets. I believe it's on the 29th, if I'm not mistaken. So inshallah, buy your tickets and hopefully we'll see you all there together. Now inshallah, I'm going to introduce Brother Jason Gowry. He has been helping us with the translation for the last 7-8 months. He heard about the translation, the Clear Quran, that I've been working on with a lot of people from the community. And he joined us and he has been part of the editing team. And he had a lot of questions that otherwise couldn't get answered growing up. So alhamdulillah, he came and he joined us and he was helping us. I gave him surahs from the Quran, Baqarah and Nisa, these big surahs at the beginning. And he was helping with the footnotes, all these things. So eventually, alhamdulillah, he said all his questions that he had for so long were answered about Allah, about the purpose of our life and so on and so forth. So today, inshallah, he is here to take shahada and join the community. Allah, so I'm going to call him so he'll pray Jummah with us. So I'm going to kindly ask him to stand right here, please. So he will say in English, then we'll do the Arabic. We'll say, I bear witness.
I bear witness.
That there is only one God to worship.
That there is only one God to worship.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness.
That Muhammad
is the prophet.
Is the prophet.
And the servant
and
of
the
God.
And the servant
of
God. And that you believe in all the prophets of God.
And I believe in all the prophets of God.
Abraham, Jesus, and Moses,
and
all
Moses,
of them.
And
you believe in all the scriptures.
And I believe in all the scriptures.
And we'll do the Arabic.
Sure.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu
Allah
Allah
Ilaha
Ilaha
Illa
Illa
Allah
Allah
Wa Anna
Wa Anna
Muhammadan He, over the last few weeks, we have been meeting together, sometimes once, sometimes twice a week, and alhamdulillah, he has learned how to pray the five daily salawat, and he has memorized Surah Fatiha in Arabic by heart, alhamdulillah. Very good pronunciation, I'm very proud of you. Last but not least, we're going also to welcome Sister Kayla. She has also been helping with the translation, the Clear Quran, for quite some time. And she has been posting her favorite quotes on Facebook. She's been asking a lot of questions. And alhamdulillah, she's also ready today to...